Craig, before we go back to you, Jim, I mentioned this Mormon photograph, the little Polaroid with you about a half hour ago. We never followed up on it.
Well, the Mormon photograph is a very grainy, very mishandled, unfortunately, and fastly deteriorating. Fastly, is that okay, Jerry?
Yeah.
Fast deteriorating, how about that?
You're the author.
Yeah, shot of, thanks for reminding me. It's a shot of President Kennedy contemporaneous with the fatal shot. And in the Mormon photograph, in those Polaroid grains, people have imagined all sorts of weird apparitions on the grassy knoll, including, I think, a gunman wearing a German World War I spiked helmet and a Dallas police officer kneeling in the shadows. So that photograph is still extant. There is another photo that Mary says she took, which we cannot find any corroboration for, other than...
Now, this is the one of what? That shows the sixth floor?
Well, correct. Yeah, it shows at least the first two floors of the old book depository, and whether or not it shows the sniper's nest, I suppose, is an open question. We have yet to see that photograph. Apparently, it was taken from her and never returned. The problem, however, is that with that particular Polaroid, which took a photo of the size of the old Swinger prints, it used almost the same film, one could not make out at that distance whether or not there would have been anybody in that corner window, even if it had been depicted in the photo.
I guess she says there was nobody in there. Is that right? Or
well,
were there two people there?
Yeah, she doesn't make a determination. There is another fellow, a Canadian named Similis, who took a photograph, and he maintains that there are two people visible in the window, but he was standing even further down the infield from Mary Mormon, and the validity of his claim is somewhat dubious as well.
Okay, let's go to Craig really fast.
Okay,
Craig, time's
quick,
getting away from us.
Two more quick points. Lee Bowers, who was never even talked to by the Warren Commission, they did not even want to hear his testimony. He was in the railway tower behind the grassy knoll, and mysteriously, months after... when all of this stuff started to come out, he died of nicotine poisoning, and he had never smoked a day in his life. Explanation on that one, please.
Well, Bowers was questioned by the Warren Commission. His testimony, I believe, is in Volume 6. He was questioned by Joe Ball, and the testimony is reproduced verbatim in the 26 volumes, so I would encourage you to look that up on your own. However, the methodology by which Bowers died is, I guess, open to... our own interpretation. He actually died in a head-on car collision with a bridge pier. I don't know that that had anything to do, Craig, with nicotine poisoning, but that was the manner in which he met his demise.
Hey, Craig, how did you get that he died from nicotine poisoning?
I got it from an autopsy photo and from some doctors I've talked to down there, or from an autopsy report, that there was an extreme amount of nicotine in his blood, which would have caused loss of motor control, similar to Kiwari poisoning.
Well, that's been the old Robert Groden claim for years, although I've never seen anything, and I have a copy of the autopsy report in my files that would indicate that's the case.
Well, I guess you beat me.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Keep listening, Craig.
I will.
We're going to go up to Saeed Valley up in Northern California.
And
Jay has a
question. I'll send my information to you.
Okay, thank you. I'll give that address at the end of the hour. We'll be back with Jim Moore. Don't go away with the question from Northern California.